Hi everyone, welcome back to RM Podcast FL. This is your host Romina. Before we get started, I wanted to take a moment and thank everybody that has reached out and supported this podcast so far. This is a self-sponsored podcast and everything is worked by me, Romina. So if you can please take 5 seconds of your time and share your favorite episode or even our main page on your social media platforms, that would be greatly appreciated. Also, feel free to talk to your friends, your family, your coworkers, anybody that you like to about our podcast. And as always, besides our website, www.rmpodcastfl.com, now you can also find us on iTunes, Spotify, YouTube, Stitchers Radio, and Podbeans. Without losing any time, let's jump into the bio of today's guest and then the interview. I hope you guys really enjoy it. The guest for today is Shehrzad Dakar. She is an award-winning filmmaker and photographer. She is born in Iran in 1989. And at first she was trained as an architect and engineer before pursuing her film career. As an artist, Shehrzad's work focused on promoting understanding of women's empowerment and women who have suffered from sexual issues. Her last short film, Highlight, deals with gender inequality. Her short film, 500 Ounces of Gold, tells the story of a religious woman who has to make a deeply profound decision about abortion. Shehrzad has received the coveted Golden Gazelle from Persian International Film Festival in Australia, as well as Best Inspirational Women in Film Award from the online Festigus Film Festival of Los Angeles. She also received the Best Script Award for 500 Ounces of Gold from the Cervagnon Film Festival in Italy. Having earned a Bachelor of Science degree in Urban Engineering in Iran, now she's attending Jacksonville University College of Fine Arts in Florida on a talent scholarship grant and continues to make independent films. This interview, it's very profound for me. I had the chance to share a little bit more of my personal experience, and you'll definitely learn a lot about stop playing the victim mentality and also how to empower each other. So I hope you guys enjoy. Hi everybody, welcome back to RM Podcast Florida. This is your host Romina. I would absolutely like to thank Shehrzad today for taking her time to be a part of the podcast. My goal for everybody is to learn at least one new thing every episode, and today's guest is actually a filmmaker, which is very different. You would be the first filmmaker that would have on our podcast. Meanwhile, I did say on the bio, she has films that are actually playing currently in Paris. Is that right?
Yes, exactly. Paris and Germany.
Perfect. Awesome. That must be very...
Yeah, it's good that it's like when you hear that your movies is out there, you didn't get a chance to be there in person. Mm-hmm. But it's just like your children is going out there, having the trips, meeting people. That's good.
That's very sweet. Your children are out there.
Yeah.
So I actually asked you to send me the links to see both of the movies. And I did see them. And the 500 Ounces of Gold, that was my favorite, I have to say, because you touched a very good topic.
I see.
And if you want to tell the listeners about a little bit about that movie.
So the main thing is about what is the consequences of making a decision.
Mm-hmm.
As a religious person, when you are facing something which is not in harmony of what you're thinking, and which is right,
mm-hmm.
you don't know what is the right or wrong. So the main concept of the movie is about abortion. It's about a religious woman who knows that her baby might be infected with the syndrome of Down,
mm-hmm.
but she is not quite sure that she should take the abortion or not. And if she took the abortion, regarding to Islamic law, mm-hmm. she has to pay 500 ounces of gold, which could be considered as the blood money. So they are from a poor family, so who knows that they would be able to pay that.
And so that is a religious thing? Like if you have an abortion, you have to pay?
If it is under pharmacia.
That is different.
That is different, yes, I can say.
That is different. That's something that I actually learned from the movie, too, and I just found the title of the movie very catching after, because you gave the explaining of it at the beginning. It's absolutely a very good movie, so whenever it's out there to our people, I would absolutely advise you guys to watch it. So you are into filmmaking, you are into photography. Like, how did you get started? Did you just wake up one day and you're like, I want to make movies?
So the thing is, I came from a family that the filmmaking mm-hmm. was always a part of our lives.
Okay.
So my uncle, who is 24 years older than me, mm-hmm. is a filmmaker and producer in Iran. So when I was like 5 or 6, I start to work as an actor.
Okay.
Yes. I played a role in a series, in a TV series, as a kid. I played the role of a guy, which was weird because they cut my hair and I was different. So that's how I...
But it's the age that you can tell, though, too, so...
So the thing is, that's my first time that I was at a movie set.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, okay, that's really interesting that people are making something which is not out there, uh-huh. that came from imagination.
Yeah.
So when I got older, it was like I got 15. He gave me a camera, a Canon FTV.
Okay.
They are like the old generations of the cameras. We're just still working with film.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to take a picture, you just have like one shot. You should be short. You should be sure that this is our best shot, uh-huh. this is our best frame. So I start with photography, and then later I started working in his company.
Okay.
I started taking filmmaking classes. I was like, okay, that's pretty cool. Maybe I just want to be a filmmaker. That's how my life changed.
That is awesome. So you did mention up like a movie. It's completely out of your imagination. So how do you come up with idea? Like, do you just see a dream and you wake up and say, huh, this is a great dream. Like, I want to bring this to life. Or do you see of what's going on around the society and want to pick up, like, abortion, for example. Like, a certain topic. Like, how did you come up with idea?
I guess it's different for different artists. But mm-hmm. in general, the best way to get inspired is writing down whatever is going to impress you or inspire you.
Okay.
For example, I'm reading the news. I saw like an interesting topic. Okay. I write down like a note for myself. Okay, abortion,
mm-hmm.
or like gender equality, mm-hmm. or I'm just walking in the street. I saw a fight. I saw an accident. I saw people. You are hearing this story as much as you are going out, see people, getting out of your comfort zone. You're gonna hear more stories, and all of them is going to inspire you later. My second movie, which is the name is Highlight,
mm-hmm.
is basically happening in a beauty salon. So you already watched that.
Correct.
A part of the story was inspired from the same salon. That's the salon that I'm going for my stuff. That I
really?
Used to go. Yeah. So the mirror, the first mirror that we saw, is the one that I kept going there, cutting my hair because I was just making it a movie. I just need to be in the area, see people.
So you just placed yourself in the set,
exactly.
and you just made the movie in your head and then
exactly.
wrote it down.
The thing is, everybody has ideas.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is how you're going to convert the stuff from the imagination to reality and show it with people, share it with people. That's the point.
To bring it to life.
Exactly.
A lot of people don't do that sometimes, though, because they're scared of how they would be...
judged?
Yeah.
There we go.
Like, for example, with a podcast, right? This is a new podcast. There are just a couple of episodes out there. But I've been thinking of it for a while because I listen to podcasts. And I was really worried at first, like, would people listen to it? Would people judge me? Or, you know, how would they...
Is it that good? Is it good enough?
Yeah, is it to the standard... But if you don't try, you don't know.
Yeah.
And I was actually having this conversation with my brother yesterday. And I was like, you know what? There's only 2 episodes out there currently. And, like, there's 4 more coming out and more to be done. But I was like, I've learned so much about website building, about audio editing, about marketing, you know, just the websites, the advertisement. I was like, I'm just learning a lot more. So I don't really... You know, I'm not really worried of how it would be received from other people. I just feel like I open a whole new box in my brain and, you know, pushing information in. So, like, going back to what you say, like, people are, like, scared or, you know, how it'd be received. Like, just go for it. And it feels like you did that, too. Were you scared at first?
Because that's terrifying.
Everyone's scared. The first impression that you're receiving when you're sharing your ideas is terrifying, honestly. You would be like, oh, no, I can't go for that. I might prefer to stay. The whole concept, I guess, is about the comfort zone.
Mm-hmm.
If we would be brave enough to get out there and start talking to people, sharing our ideas. What do you think about the idea of, that would be like the one-line story. What do you think?
Mm-hmm.
So you don't think that would be good enough, but I'm thinking that's good enough. So I'm going for that. I'm going to develop the story. I'm going to believe in myself. That's the point. Maybe a lot of things that I have put in my movies were not received by audience.
Mm-hmm.
And that's good because I'm learning, okay, what should I do the next time? How should I improve myself? We all have some stuff that we heard that really impresses. One of them was like, done is better than perfect.
Okay.
So if you're gonna keep waiting, that would be a perfect time that I'm going to shoot a movie. I'm going to start painting. I'm going to start going to gym. You're going to never start that.
So I want to go back to a little bit what you said, like your critics, people that didn't like the movie. You're going to listen to that so you know what to do in your next
that's
movie?
Yeah, that's going to break my heart, first of all. No, I'm just joking.
But you're just going to embrace it and you're just going to say, you know what, I've learned from it. Like, what does the audience want to hear?
There is two different parts of sharing something out there. The first part is that's what I'm thinking. That's mm-hmm. my unique point of view. And I would love that as much as people would be impressed with that.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I must learn the way that I'm presenting, how would it be received? And am I fine with the way that it's getting received, or I want to change the way that I'm impacting?
Mm-hmm.
So this is two different aspects that we should know, that I should have my own voice,
mm-hmm.
but at the same time, if I want to impress people, I should learn the way to share this with them. Hearing the critics, it's not easy. I guess it's the most difficult part of like being an artist or even being a human.
Mm-hmm.
Because you are not comfortable about the time that people are pointing at stuff that you're like, okay, I already know, but just don't say it loud.
Yeah.
You know?
But you should always also, I feel like you should also be careful of whose opinion you're letting in.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you might like let opinion of somebody that is not the expert of the topic kind of, If they say something negative, it might affect you. And you're like, okay, but are you an expert at this topic? Like, are you just giving me an opinion when you don't know what's going on?
But the point is, when you are putting a movie out there,
mm-hmm.
it is not that all of the audience is going to be expert in movies, in acting, in production. They are going to judge the whole movie by their hearts, by their experience of like watching movies before.
Mm-hmm.
So you cannot go, you won't be able, how can I, let me paraphrase that. You won't be able to change the way that people are going to discover your art. You know what I'm saying? That's the point.
Once you put it out there, that's the only way to find it.
You gotta know that people are going to be from different, you know, in the best way that would be possible. People might be from different countries, different cultures, different backgrounds, and they might expect different stuff from a good movie.
Mm-hmm.
So which part I'm going to change to make everyone happy? No, I'm not going to make everyone happy because that's not possible. First of all, it's my voice. I'm going to put it out there like this.
Mm-hmm.
Your turn.
Well, on your movies, both of the movies, they were focused on femininity.
Yes.
Both of the movies, like especially the highlight, it was all females. It was about the life of females. And
that's my favorite shot.
Yeah, and I thought it was really awesome how it was put on a hair salon, because that's where everything, that's when you're yourself.
Yeah.
And you just go there, get your hair done, and maybe you can not necessarily gossip, but let a thought out and know you won't be judged because there's other females.
You're gonna share a lot of things.
Exactly. There's other females that would, you know, listen to it. Like, for guys, if they play football or they're drinking beers, you know, like, that's their zone. For females, it's the salon or, you know, getting their nails done. Like, but is there anything in particular that pushes you towards that area, like, towards femininity? Like, why are you so passionate about it?
When I saw that question in your list, mm-hmm. I started to think about it. What really brought me here? What really brought me to that stage? I guess I always feel somehow responsible. That I've heard a lot of stories. I met a lot of people. Mm-hmm. I know some stuff. And maybe because I know how to make a movie, maybe I am the I am responsible about putting these stories in order, make them dramatic, and put it out there. Maybe it's a part of my mission. Maybe, I don't know. But the thing is, when you are getting impressed with the stuff,
mm-hmm.
you should, after a while, you gotta start to be responsible about showing something, I don't know.
So you felt responsible to put the voice out there?
Yeah.
And so you're from Iran originally,
yeah.
And I'm Albanian. And in our countries back home, I wouldn't say it's really bad, but it's males have more power.
Yes.
As the time passes by, it's changing. In America, that's something that people still, you know, deal with. But it's like back home, it's, I would say, 100 years backwards to where America was before. Is that maybe another reason why? Because you know, like, as a female yourself, you know you have a voice, and why not have your voice out there and just be the person to transmit those messages to the audience?
I guess that could be a reason too. But as I moved here,
mm-hmm.
I know I'm still interested in femininity. I'm still interested, like, in speaking of about the woman's world.
Mm-hmm.
Not in the way that it used to be,
mm-hmm.
like, okay, let's see this woman, this actress, this main character is the victim. No, I don't believe in that. I guess if you find a way to share a different part of the story, a
mm-hmm.
different face of the story, that's going to be more impressive than maybe the protests or like going out there and making campaigns, because you're sharing a story
mm-hmm.
that people could catch the details, people could feel what's really happening. So maybe if I know how to do that, I have to.
So I know we're talking about femininity, but I do want to explain something from what I got to know you so far, because we met multiple times
yeah.
before. It's not that you're just female power, empower females, but you're also towards you get what you deserve.
Exactly.
And you're just about giving females more of a voice and pushing them to their limits to get better. Especially at the teenage times. I feel like that's the age that everybody kind of forms who they're going to be in their life. Even though we don't know,
yeah.
you know, who we want to be, but that's the forming age. What would you say to female teenagers that maybe they're struggling emotionally or mentally, that feel that they're not getting their rewards, or they are scared to go for that step or say what they feel?
So I guess, first of all, if I'm going to share a note,
mm-hmm.
a recommendation,
yeah.
that is not just for the teenage girls, that's for all of the teenage, beside their gender. The first thing that is going to change anyone's life
mm-hmm.
is getting out of comfort zone, which is going to let them to speak up, to not to stop being worried about how people are going to judge them. Because it is not really, as you got older, you get to that point more accurate, I guess, that it is not about, life is not about what people are thinking about me.
Mm-hmm.
It's about what I'm thinking about myself, because most of the time I'm spending my life in my head, in my brain. So if I learn how to behave good to myself, how to empower myself, because there was something that I used to work in a film school
mm-hmm.
as the director of the education. And
okay.
a lot of people came to have interviews at the beginning, and they were like, you know what, I'm here that somebody is going to find me as a talent. Somebody is going to discover how talented I am. I was like, nobody's going to discover you. You are the one that has to show yourself. So if we changed our attitude from being the victim, that we are waiting for somebody to come along, save us, found us, take care of us, nothing's going to change.
Mm-hmm.
But if we would be the one who is taking the actions, who would be responsible, that's all about responsibility, about having this amazing opportunity to be living. Because easily we couldn't be existed though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You kind of hit a good point to not play the victim.
Yeah.
I do want to share a personal story. So I try not to share personal stories on the podcast,
yeah.
but I do want to share something. So whenever I was on my early 20s, because I just turned 27, I was married. And my husband at the time, my ex-husband, he worked logistics, he made great money, and he was working, you know, two jobs, we were having a good life, great income. But I quit school because I didn't know what I wanted to do with my life. And in my head, I wanted to be the perfect wife. So I did not go to school. I just only worked on sales, car sales, which wasn't easy. But I also did the cleaning, did the cooking, did everything around the house. And then whenever I got divorced, I looked back at those 5-6 years that I've spent, and I was like, oh my God, like, I have no skills. And I blamed him for the longest time. I said, because of you, I wanted to be the perfect wife. And because of you, I didn't go to school. And it was blaming the situation. And then it took a year for me to actually take ownership and say, you know what? I was the one that allowed those actions. So if I want to apply for a job, like I want to be a consultant, but I'm not skilled for it, it's my responsibility to learn those skills, to get back to work, to put myself out there. But it is a very big, like, it is a very hard step to take, though.
Yeah.
From going to that victim mentality and blaming others to be like, you know what?
Because it's so much easier to be the victim and blame the others.
It is. But it's not going to take you nowhere.
Yeah.
I mean, it took me a year to get out of that.
Yeah.
And then since then, I've been all about, like, I don't care if I'm in a relationship, because I know a lot of females do this. And I ran into a lot of my friends that do this. Once they're in their relationship, they just, it's all about the guy. It's all about investing your time there, and you forget about yourself, which that should not be happening. Like, don't blame him. Don't be the victim of the relationship. Don't blame him. And I'm not saying that relationships are easy. Like, you have to invest in them. But it's you all the time. And going back to, like, the empowering females, that's the point that I am passionate about, too. And that's what how we kind of bonded when we first talked.
Yeah.
Because it's, you have to. Like, if, let's say, you're married for 10 years, right? You're a housewife. And then, God prohibit, something happens, something bad. You're going to start from scratch. Like, if you don't invest in it, you're going to start from scratch.
Yep.
And that happens a lot back home.
Yeah. So as you watch my first movie, mm-hmm. 500 Ounces of Gold, it started with a sequence that they are in a shoe store,
mm-hmm.
and the lady could not decide about her shoes. So that would...
And that was her element, like...
There we go. So the thing is, if she couldn't be responsible about what shoe do I want... Do we expect that character that is going to have a
voice,
like a big change, and be responsible about what she wants to do with her baby? Of course not. That would be like introducing the characters, and also show that if you are not taking any action, that is what's going to happen to you in like bigger issues.
Yeah.
You would be the victim. You are playing the victim. You are not speaking up what you want. You want to speak up for everything. You won't ever be able to say what you want from life.
I remember seeing that element, and I was like, that like, I kind of felt sad, and I was like, she needs an opinion, because it's not just her wanting the opinion of what shoe to get, but she, I feel like you played it really good, because she wanted to make him happy, too.
Yeah. So what do you want? What do you want me to do?
But she didn't say what she wanted. Like, she was trying to say, how about this color? And he's like, no, this one's.
Yeah.
And she ended up going with his decision.
Exactly.
So she still raised her voice a little, but not too much.
Yeah.
And that's what's wrong with, you know, with letting others push you. And this can be a relationship, work environment, friendship,
society, anything.
And that's because going back to being judged and just wanting to be accepted and not, you know,
be the less conflicts ever, because people are afraid of having, as we were talking about speaking up, mm-hmm. about sharing our ideas. If you don't share anything, if you don't produce art, if you don't produce podcasts, if you stop just like speaking up with people, telling what you're thinking, you are going to have less conflict. You're going to be safe. Nobody's going to charge you. Nobody's going to judge you. Everyone would be like, wow, such a sweet Romina. I like her. She always accepts everything. She never say no. And it's like, isn't it something wrong about that person? So,
Pearl is just going with the flow.
Exactly. So you would be, you won't have your own voice, you won't have your own personality, so you would be like, yeah, you're gonna just fade out in the dark.
That is so true though.
Yeah.
Just kind of, just gonna be one of the other people. So we did touch the movie again. I'm really curious. Whenever you see movies, like, do you sit there and actually enjoy the movies?
Not anymore.
Or in your head, you're, like, judging the characters, yeah, judging the scenes. And then me, like, I'm not in the filmmaking industry, yeah, so I would just enjoy the movie, and if I don't like it, I'll just change it.
Yeah.
But do you, like, watch them with a critic eye?
I guess the thing is, the worst thing that could ever happen to a filmmaker, they won't enjoy movies anymore, honestly. So one of my jobs was like, I was the script supervisor.
Uh-huh.
The script supervisor is the one who is responsible about the continuity of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
I was the one who is responsible about make sure that is the glasses on the table in all of the scenes? Is this actress hair is the same as the previous scene? Is their tone, everything. There are a lot of details in the set, and everyone's doing their best not to take care of the continuity. Everyone, because everyone wants to make their job easier.
Mm-hmm.
So when I'm watching a movie, I'm like, oh my God, that's a big jump. Why didn't you put it out there? Why didn't you put it out there? But when I'm seeing a good movie, mm-hmm, I do really enjoy the production and the good effort that they have put out there.
Mm-hmm.
That really impresses me. But the bad movies or the movies which are having like smaller stuff,
mm-hmm, you just can't anymore. What's your favorite movie out there?
If I want to say the one movie that really, really impresses me,
mm-hmm,
is Emily. I'm not sure if you have watched it or not. That's a French movie.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the sweetest movies that I ever watched.
What is it about?
It's about a girl who is a daydreamer,
mm-hmm,
and who has the experience of living in a different way. And it takes place in Paris, so just imagine how cute it is. Yeah.
So, going back to the movies, I'm just really intrigued. A lot of people, like you expressed earlier, you know, whenever they would come to the movie school, like back home, they would say, I want to be discovered, like I'm a great actress, not necessarily investing on themselves, getting better, but they just feel like they'll be discovered. Like, are people like born to be actors or actresses, or do you, like, what can you learn to be a good actor? Like, how do you go about it if you have this big dream of just being a movie star?
First of all, I believe nothing is impossible. Mm-hmm. Everything is possible. If you wanna be an actress, the first step is learning the skills. You might be talented. Some people are having the talents.
Mm-hmm.
But as Albert Einstein says, it's like 99% of hardworking and 1% is going to be the
talent.
So you're gonna fill in this 99% by taking classes,
mm-hmm,
by practicing hard, by never giving up, by consistency. That's one of the things that people forget. They start to work for like 2 months. They are good, they are hard workers, they kept practicing, they are going to singing classes, they are both taking care of their body, taking care of their mind. But after 2 months, they would be like, why isn't it happening?
Mm-hmm.
The key is the patience. If you want to be patient, I remember when I started to go to filmmaking classes, there were a lot of people, I guess they were even more talented than I am.
Mm-hmm.
But they gave up. That's the thing. But after 10 years, I haven't just let it go. I believe, okay, maybe I could just like go one day more, 1 month more, 1 year more. And then you say, okay, now I'm standing somewhere that I can say, okay, I wasn't the one who just gave up.
So if you wake up tomorrow and you find yourself being like 90 years old, and then you look back, like, what would you love to have your babies, your children out there? What kind of children do you want? So you can feel very satisfied. Because I know you're not going to give up. Like, I know that about you. And I know you're going to do even more awesome projects.
Thank you.
So when would you feel like that satisfaction? Or would you ever feel that satisfaction? It's always like more.
That's a tricky question. You gotta learn how to be satisfied about what you're doing, because that is going to give you more power and more motivation to keep it up. But if you kept saying that's not enough, then you're going to make the inner child sad that you are never happy by me. You're never proud of me. So the thing is, if there would be something mm-hmm. that if I accomplished, I would be happy by myself, is that I've shared everything that I want. I've shared my point of view. I've shared my thought. I've shared my point of view. I've shared my smile, I've shared my memories, I've shared my dancing, mm-hmm. I've shared my good times with people, I've shared my tears. That's the point. If I find a way to communicate, if I find a way to connect with people, so maybe the reason that I want to make a movie is because I want to tell the story of what I'm thinking, tell my ideas to as much as people as I can. So if I could learn away, you know, about the comfort zone that it was telling earlier.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that is going to change you as an artist is to put yourself in different challenges. For example, I told myself every day I gotta speak with a stranger.
Okay.
Yeah. That's something that is going to make me feel more comfortable around people. That's something that is going to help me to break what I'm afraid of. I gotta overcome my fears. Mm-hmm. And that's a way.
That's nerve-wracking at first.
Yeah, it is.
Because parents tell you, don't talk to strangers.
Yeah.
But you grow up and you find out talking to strangers, that's how you get to learn more about life.
Exactly.
And before I jump to my final question, which everybody's aware of what the final question is, because I'm always intrigued with that, what would be your opinion towards people putting themselves out there and opening a podcast or opening a business or opening an artistic, you know, social media? If you get only like one like at the beginning and then you're just like, I'm not liked, you know, what advice would you give to those people to keep going?
Yeah. The point is, life is not about the outcome. Life is about the process. And anything, any project you might have mm-hmm. is not about being on the 3 million likes at the first day. Everything is just, Rome is not built in one night. I don't know what is it in English. Yeah,
you can say it in your language.
Yeah, that would be like Romi shabe sakhte nashode, which means that it's not built in like one day.
I was gonna translate and call cool for a second.
So the point is that is not about the outcome. That's about the process. Mm-hmm. As we were talking, you said as you start your own podcast,
yeah.
you've learned a lot about advertisement. You've learned a lot about different skills. You've heard some stories that you never might have a chance to hear about it. And it's about developing yourself, first of all. And the way that you're getting more developed, you're getting more skilled, you're going to do better in the next episode. And beside the podcast, you're going to be better in your life. You're going to be a better person. You're going to be more qualified. And one day you're going to say, okay, one of the best decisions that I ever made was I wasn't afraid to speak up. I wasn't afraid to share.
You sleep better at night, too.
Yeah.
I mean, you might get the critics at first, but again, you're going to take the critics and see who is the critic. Is this somebody that is uneducated towards the topic?
Yeah.
And when I say uneducated, I'm not trying to insult nobody, but I cannot give you, you know, I cannot tell you your movie sucks, for example, because I'm not a movie expert.
I see.
You know, but if I was a movie director and I'd be like, hey, you did really good at this, but really good at this, you would welcome that criticism to do better. So you always have to just kind of not let others get to you also.
And a quick note is when you are receiving the notes that you don't like,
mm-hmm.
when you are receiving the criticism, mm-hmm. if I pronounce it well, you got to understand it's not about, nobody has targeted your personality. They are trying to give you notes how to improve. But people take it so personal. It's like, okay, you're insulting me. You're insulting my talents. You're insulting what I've done. No. I'm just trying to give you a hint that you could do better, or that's something that you could do better next time.
Mm-hmm.
But people always get this mixed stuff like, no, I don't want to hear stuff. I'm good for now. I don't want to change. Don't give me any comments. Just say how good I am.
You brought up a really good point. I was listening to a video yesterday on YouTube, because I watch YouTube a lot towards motivational videos. And one of the videos that I came across, it was about when somebody is mean to you, or when somebody is trying to hurt you, they might genuinely think that they are doing the right thing to help you. Like, nobody wakes up in the morning and say, hey, I'm going to go around and just be a jerk to everybody. You know,
yeah.
They genuinely think that's the right way to talk. They genuinely think that's the proper way to
impress people. Yeah.
So it's not necessarily taking it personal, but a lot of people, what they say, it shows of who they are too. So you just have to, you know, welcome it, and you just have to learn more about the other party and just accept it. There is no reason to be mad. Like, let's say if you love Coke, right? Coca-Cola. And I say, Coke, it's not tasty at all. It's Pepsi. Like, you should stop drinking Coke because it's just disgusting. You're going to get offended by that? Correct, you shouldn't.
No.
Because I genuinely think I'm trying to help you and push this other product to you. You know? But a lot of people take it personal, like, oh, you're just insulting my taste, or you're insulting me as a person going with the product.
Yeah.
So things like that, like, you just have to kind of just take it with a positive note and just think that it's coming from the best view out of them.
Exactly.
I did see that video and it really got to me. I was like, this is really, really good. Because sometimes we get upset if people say even one comment or criticize us. But generally, they're thinking that they're doing the good thing.
If you felt secure about your inner core, which is taking care of your real, real soul, we can make it that way, you won't get offended easily. You won't. And one of the things that I learned as I start to work as an artist and as a human being, whenever you are saying that you are about to start a new project, you are about to change, people, most of the time, won't cherish your decision, won't say, okay, just go for it. They start to share their fears with you. They will be like, what if you got broke? What if you failed? What if you couldn't make it? And that's the reason when you want to start a new project. Because one of the questions, I guess, with me is, was like, how do I get... Oh, no, I've already answered that. But anyhow, one of the ways that I start to start my new projects is that I don't talk to a lot of people about it at the beginning, because they are not going to give you good hints. But when you are in the middle of a project, you can say, okay, that's what I've done so far. What do you think? Give me some quick notes and okay, that's it. I don't want you to go further. That's all I need now. But if you would be like, okay, you know what, Romina? I'm about to have a company. And you would be like, what are you thinking about yourself? Who the hell do you think you are? You can't make it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how people behave. So you should always be aware, who are you going to share your dreams with?
But how do you build that inner core, though? Because that takes a lot of self-confidence.
I guess that is built from... Because I used to be the most shy an introverted girl and the universe.
Really?
Yeah, nobody's gonna believe that.
Yeah, it's weird for me to think you're being shy.
Yeah.
Because you put yourself out there, you're so friendly and just, you know.
Because the thing is, you're gonna start fake it to make it. That's what it happens, what happened to me. And after 1 year or two, I was like, okay, why do I always act like confident people? There is something strange. I'm like, maybe I'm confident. And then I start believing, maybe I am confident, maybe I am okay, maybe I'm comfortable around people. So that came from a lot of things. I started doing meditation. I started writing down 3 pages as I kept the diary of my life.
Okay.
So that helps me to face my fears, face my dreams and everything. So I've been inspired with an awesome writer. Her name is Julia Cameron.
Okay.
She's a writer, and she has published a lot of great books. I might suggest, if you haven't taken that, take a look at The Artist Way.
Okay. Julia Cameron?
Julia Cameron, yes.
Okay, I'm gonna look that up.
Yeah. So it says that if you wanna improve yourself, if you wanna find the peace with the artist who is living inside you, inside your heart, inside your mind, start writing down your diaries and going to weekly walkings, or keep, or how can I say that? Keep spending time with yourself. That may seem so cliche, but that's
a lot of people get bored spending time with themselves
because they are not comfortable with themselves. And when they are alone in the house, they kept talking on the phone, they kept doing a Skype, put the TV on, because they couldn't be alone with their thoughts. When you start being comfortable with yourself, and the key is the acceptance. I'm gonna accept that I'm not perfect. And I don't have to be perfect.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm better than yesterday, okay, I'm doing great.
That's so true. I have a family member that she is always on her phone. She's not comfortable with herself, and she, if she's off one day, she gets frustrated. Like, if she's not going nowhere, she gets upset. Like, I was home all day, and I'm like, I would love to just be sitting home one day.
Yeah,
you know, just completely zone out. That is so true, though. Like, it takes a minute to get comfortable with yourself.
Yeah. So as you start to go on to trips by yourself,
mm-hmm.
that is going to break that completely, because you're gonna learn how you should.
That's a whole nother level.
Yeah. Exactly. So you might start by going to a coffee shop by yourself, having
a
coffee.
Oh, I love doing that.
There you go. And then you start going to a restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
Then you start going to a dance club. Then you start going to beach. And you would be, okay, nobody stares at me. Nobody's judging me. I'm by myself. And I'm having as much as fun that I could have with my friends. I love my friends. But anyhow, I'm spending time with myself. And that's so, so funny.
You worry about others think of you. You don't worry about your own joy.
Exactly. So if you start, so I put something on my reminder
mm-hmm.
2 years ago, I guess. Stop looking at yourself from the other people's eyes. That was like a reminder for me every day. Don't think what people are thinking about you. Think what you want to be. And I'm saying these are all my cliche. When I was younger, I thought that the essence of the living,
mm-hmm.
the best way of living hasn't been discovered yet, so I should go for it. But it's already out there. It's already out there that you know how you should be successful, how you should be happy, how you should be comfortable. But the thing is, who is brave to take the actions?
So you know the formula, but you're not taking the action.
Exactly. Exactly.
There are so many formulas out there to what to do on an interview to get that job, or what to do for social media or advertising.
Yeah. Yeah.
The formula is out there, but people are scared to fail.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's the thing that a lot of times that people do not start their projects is because they are afraid of failure. Okay, you're going to fail. What? Is this going to be end of the world? If it is, okay, just wrap up the world for us with your failure.
Because if you don't try, it's a no already. So
yeah.
You might get a yes, so why don't you try?
And the thing is, when you start, when you keep skipping your dreams,
mm-hmm.
skipping following your projects, that could be a small one. That would be like, okay, I want to make a collage for my house.
Mm-hmm.
I want to change the way that I'm cooking.
Mm-hmm.
If I don't do that, I would always be like, you are not listening to me, Sherry.
Regretful.
Yeah.
You're gonna regret it at one point.
I never take any actions. I'm just talking. That's just the theory. And the theory, no result.
You said something about the reminder. You just kind of tricked me. I forgot that I even did this. When I moved to America at 17, that was a nerve-wracking year by myself. In my English class, the professor, because we were seniors in high school, the teacher at the time said, for assignment, I want you guys to write a letter to yourself. And I want to keep this letter, and I'm going to give it to you guys in your graduation day, like at the end of semester.
Yeah.
So I remember writing the letter, and my English was broke, like, when I read it years
later. I know how it feels.
half of it was Albanian, half of it was English. But I wrote the letter, and I did get the letter, and it said, to Romina from Romina. I did get the letter after, graduation, but I never opened it. And I ended up opening the letter when I moved to Jacksonville after my divorce.
How many years
later? That was 2009, and I moved here 2015. Yeah, years later, and because I had just put it on my books, on my stuff. You know, when you always have that box when you move from one place to another,
you
never open. So I was going through my stuff, and I read the letter. I was like, oh my God. And there were some goals there and some stuff that I put to myself. And I hadn't reached them. Because I've been telling myself, someday, you know? Oh, I'm going to do it, but like...
Someday is not a day.
On Monday.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to start on Monday. Or I'm going to start after I finish this. Like, I'm going to find time for this.
First day of the month.
And it was like a big slap on my face. I was like, I've really been slacking big time. But that's like a journal that I kept at 17. And I was like, oh my God, this is really bad. And that was the year that I was saying earlier that I was, you know, blaming everybody else for my situation, not myself. So I blamed it on the situation too. And then I was like, all right, you need to wake up, lady.
Yeah.
You're not the victim, you know?
Yeah. Exactly.
Everything that happens around you is because of you.
Yeah.
And my my very last question, I'm always intrigued for this because everybody has different answers. What is your definition of success?
Okay, give me a second. Definition of success.
I'm sure you thought about this because I emailed you the question, so yeah. I'm sure you actually thought about this for a hot minute.
So the first thing is balance, that you found the balance of fun, dreams, goals, health, everything. There are a lot of aspects. If I could get myself, because I used to be a workaholic.
Mm-hmm.
And I was successful in my business, of course I was, but I didn't have so much time for fun or doing sports. But right now, I guess the success is just dividing my life to the aspects that I do really care about,
mm-hmm.
and doing my best in each one of them. I guess that would be the success, but give me a second that I could find a better definition. I'm not satisfied with this definition though.
But that's a good way to look at it.
Yeah.
And that's what I love too, though, because whenever I ask people what's your definition of success, nobody says own a mansion and drive a Ferrari and, you know,
yeah.
everybody just talks about their inner peace, their inner happy, their yeah. happiness, their dreams. So a lot of people out there want to be like millionaires, and that's when they think yeah. life is awesome. So I'm still waiting for that interview for people to say, my definition of success is to have $1 million.
I would love to have some, if that's possible, but that's not the definition of success. So, you know, all of us, when we are about to go to sleep, we are having our, I might call it a tape. They are the tapes that you put in your mind that bring you joy. You would be like, okay, this is what I want in like 10 years. Mm-hmm. So one of my favorite tapes in my head is that I'm receiving, I'm about to share that, I'm gonna put it out there. I'm receiving the, what is that? I'm receiving the award in the Cannes Film Festival, and as I'm receiving that, I make a joke in French and the audience might laugh. So I told myself, okay, Shahrzad, if that's what you want, what are the steps? First of all, learn French. Secondly, learn the jokes. And the third one, make a good movie. So
you have the formula.
So yeah, I got the formula. So the point is, am I that brave? Am I that hard worker to do all of these three steps and get my dream? If I am, good for me. If not, I should face that I wasn't that hard worker, or it wasn't that important for me. That was just like a dream. But when you start to face what you really want from the universe, what you really want from yourself, you would be in more peace. I'd be like, okay, that's a dream. I know the way, but I must see why I could go for it or not.
So you have to say it out to call it out, though. If you call it out on the world, it's going to come to you.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
And I'm going to be at that stage when you have there. I don't know French, but you're probably going to tell me the joke beforehand. So I'm just going to be one of the people that laugh with it.
So the thing is, I did something when I was in Iran. So I had a blackboard, and I saw the picture the other day. My heart was like, how can I say that? I was so excited that
you got
this
happy.
Board that really happened. So I made a board, and I started putting my wish list.
Mm-hmm.
That started with like smaller stuff. I would like to have a golden necklace. I would like to have an iPhone. And then I would be like, I'm going to go to a road trip to America. I would have to like a red car. I would like to have an apartment that has a gym and pool at the same time and a parking. You know, all these crazy things that you're making. And less than a year, all of them happened. I was like, oh my God, what is happening? And when I moved to United States, in the first week, my mom called me and was like, okay, Shahrzad, go ahead, get a new board, start the new part of your journey. So I got a new board. Mm-hmm. I'm putting my stuff out there and see when they happen. Because when you know what you want, and it's like right in front of you.
You see it every day.
You see it every day. It's like, okay, that's what I'm thinking. That's what I want. That's why I woke up this morning. I know what I want. I'm going for it. And if I'm lazy, I know that maybe I reserve some of the lazy days as well.
That is so true, though, because the RM podcast, like the one with the website, I don't know if you've seen the website yet, but it's the logo and it's sky buildings, like sky high buildings. And in my head, I'm thinking, that's my consulting firm.
I see.
You know, like that's what I'm going to call my consulting firm. It's going to be rooftop. It's going to be like, you know, high floor, and I will be great at it. And whenever I look at it, I just think of, especially like this one.
Yeah.
Like right here. I think I'm like, I'm going to be up there. All the way at the top. Like, that's what I look at it. And that's kind of like in the middle.
Yeah. And that's the thing that nobody believes, but that's how the dreams came true. Like,
oh, it is. It is. Oh, my goodness. I feel like we covered a lot. I know I emailed you the questions, but we deviated from the questions again. But I feel like we touched a lot of points.
Yeah, that was such a nice conversation. I do really enjoy that.
And I didn't think I would share that personal experience of mine.
I haven't used my notes at all. I'm like, okay, do I have something that I want to share from here?
Yeah, no? Do you have any last minute thing that you like to share? Besides your website and when people can get a hold of you?
Yeah, sure. So if you want to make art, don't think that it has to be perfect. Just play with that. That is for the sake of art, not for the sake of the outcome. You see that collage?
Mm-hmm. You made that.
Yeah. That was one of the things that I would be like, okay, so instead of getting into Instagram, swiping up and down and watch what people are doing, I'm going to do something with my hands and with my mind. So that helped me. So finally, I have something that I worked like for like 2 weeks. And I also know that I haven't wasted that much of time on my phone.
You also do puzzles.
Yeah.
Like, you rarely post stuff on social media, and it's always like something that you've done or a product of your work. Or you might share like that you're just building a puzzle. Like, do you find peace when you build a puzzle?
I guess we are all about hobbies. If you change your hobbies, you are going to change your life as well. Because if you think about it, like, my life is going to be divided to years, months, days, moments. What I'm doing every moment. So if I'm doing stuff that I do really enjoy about, so I started to make lists of what I do really care about and what I really enjoy. So one of them was like puzzle. I was like, okay, when was the last time that I played a puzzle? That was like, wow, 20 years ago when I was a kid and I was playing with my cousins. That was our first puzzle. And I was like, why am I doing this to myself?
Yeah.
Why am I kept forgetting what really makes me happy? All of us need games. So let's give my...
Just figure out your own game.
Exactly. It's all about how you're going to know more about yourself. What makes you happy? What makes you sad? And when you kept taking care of yourself, making yourself happy, you will see, okay, as I'm a happier person, I'm going to gym more. Mm-hmm. As I'm a happier person, I cook more. As I'm a happier person, I'm going for my dreams more. But if I kept doing nothing, I would like, I don't want to do anything. I want to stay in the house and be an angry person and fall into my phone. Which is the worst thing that could happen to any of us.
So, I kind of want to compare it with something else. You're building your own castle, but using bricks instead of sand. That's your life.
Wow, I like it that way.
So you're building bricks that you know the ins and outs, and it's strong foundation. And you might hit the rock bottom, but that's the best solid foundation you can get. And then you're just building up from there. up and up compared to sand that you make it look pretty for somebody to take a picture and just be happy for a moment.
Exactly.
You're just building bricks, strong foundation, and you'll have your own castle that, you know what?
Yeah.
You cannot just break in. You have to come from the front door if I allow you or not.
Exactly. So the point is, I've read it somewhere. I'm not going to take it guaranteed that that's mine. That's my way. But I just found a way that's really cool. So you have a dream.
Mm-hmm.
When you put a deadline on it, that is becoming a goal. So when you start to plan it, make it through actions, you are making it practical.
Mm-hmm.
So
you're making it reachable.
Exactly. So you're going to find a way that is your roadmap. What kind of person do I want to be? If I want to be someone who could, for example, talk to a lot of people from different countries, I should start learning new languages.
Mm-hmm.
If I want to learn new languages, I should do it every day.
Yeah.
That is not something that would be like, okay, I'm going to France next week and I'm going to keep listening to podcasts, blah, 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 blah. No, that's not going to work. You should take some time. And that's what I'm telling about the hobbies.
Yeah.
You want to be a good host at podcasts, you got to keep listening to podcasts.
True.
Because when you are around of good quality, when you are around of good stuff, that is going to make your taste glorious. I love the word glorious. I use it a lot.
Glory, glorious.
Glory, glory.
Oh my goodness. Well, we definitely covered a lot. I actually enjoyed this. I know, like, I sent you the question. I said I want to try to have it in a conversational way, not just necessarily investigate you. But like I said, my message is for everybody to just learn at least one new thing every podcast. I hope they learn at least one new thing this podcast. I'm sure a lot of our female listeners maybe learned a lot more. But if they do have any questions, they can always go ahead and find more information about us at rmpodcastfl.com.
Yeah.
And always follow us on Instagram. We are on Spotify and iTunes, so definitely feel free to follow.
Yeah, sure.
Awesome. Any last moment thing that you want to add?
The only thing is, if any of you guys want to check out my website, that would be like shahzadart.com. S-H-A-H-R-Z-A-D. ART.com.
Awesome. And I'll put it on the link.
Perfect.
Too.
Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you so much, guys. I hope you have a great rest of the day.